I would like to hear Ezra Allen on that, because some time ago Ezra was making a point about legislating ad hominem, where you are creating legislation to deal with a specific person, or you're taxing a specific person, or creating relief for a specific person. And he was saying that when you go and you do it retroactively, it is unwise. And I wonder whether it's possible or whether there will be any fallout from that. I mean, what you can do is you can level the playing field and give the same concessions to everyone else.
No, Peter. Look at Gaston Brown model. Gaston Brown recalled some concessions that was given to the previous administration to Sanders in Antigua and Barbuda. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit of follow, and he closed the hotel. He was going to do all the things. He's still functioning down there, you know. At the end of the day, he's still down there functioning. The bottom line is that Barbados belongs to Barbados. So, why we welcome investors in this country, Peter, and we welcome very much the investment that is made in the country. At the same time, there has to be an equal playing field, because we can't be calling on ordinary citizens in this country to pull it all away when it comes to bringing the country back on track. White persons who can pay are not being asked to pay. That can't happen in the part of this world. And I believe that somebody must revisit those, and because Peter, the truth is, right, that in the face of the lifetime concession that was given to both Cortulas and Sanders, these individuals had competitors. Mm-hmm. They have competitors.
So what is this reminding me online that Prime Minister Motley did speak about the matter? And the belief is that she will address it, you know, in due course. That is one of the issues which is on her list of priorities.
I have full confidence in the Prime Minister, and I know that the Prime Minister will do what she has to do. And I don't believe that she will leave the people of this country hanging and allow another group or class of people to go scot free. The last thing I want to speak to you, Peter, on is customs and excise. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the Minister of Finance, which is the Prime Minister of this country, pay close attention. It's one of the largest revenue earning governmental departments for the government, and she needs to pay some attention to what is currently happening at Customs. Customs is losing millions of dollars in revenue because of square pegs and wrong holes. That's the bottom line. One of the things that I want to see, and I will throw this out now, Peter, is that Customs need to establish what you call an express counter. Let me explain when I say express counter, what I mean. Persons who bring goods into this country, commodities, whatever it is that they bring into this country, and you have a desire after the land to have them out in 2 days or 3 days, government can negotiate, determine, let me say for argument's sake, a ballpoint figure that $20,000 would be your duties paid for you to have these goods cleared from the Bridgestone port. Government can determine the percentage on the $20,000, and the express counter, in 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days, you can have your goods out, rather than being held to ransom or held hostage by entries that custom officers are complaining about that are not properly filed, or the discrepancies in areas at the entry. Because what I'm saying, Peter, is that it is of no use to the vendor who bring the goods into the country, lay in the Bridgestone port for sometimes 2 months and 3 months, that by the time you get them out, Peter, you can't make the profit on them simply because I'm saying, let us establish, not only that, let me tell you what they can do, Peter. If a person wants me to give them $1,500 to help do their work that they are paid for, and the government establish a express counter that asks me to pay $700 or $800 on the $20,000 fees that I have to pay to bring my goods out, Peter, I will opt to give the government the $700 and let Joe Blow, who working for $3,500, wait on his salary at the end of the month. Mm. That's the bottom line. We have done it in immigration, and I think that we can spread it across a number of ministries in this country, even town planning. Okay. If I come and I have a
urgent matter, you pay an urgent fee.
Have an express counter for me, charge me a fee, and let me have my drawings back, that I can start the process, Peter, and get cut out. Yeah. All the fellas that said no, we're ready for money, and leave them be parted.
Patrick, one of the things that, and I just want to leave this one with you, when St. Kitts and Nevis. St. Kitts and Nevis has an interesting arrangement where they actually pay customs officers a commission right. on duties that they collect. I remember the Prime Minister, who instituted this when he was Minister of Finance in the previous administration, he said, look, Peter, we had a situation where a lot of the customs officers appear to have been living in a way that suggested that they were not just living on their salary. That's probably the kindest way to put it. He said, so we had a decision to make. Either we allow this to continue, or alternatively, we try sting operations and whatnot to catch people. Or alternatively, we set up a system similar to what you're proposing that says to them, we'll let you benefit if you let us benefit. So basically, they have quotas, and if they meet their quotas, they get a commission. If they don't meet their quotas, they don't get the commission. And the commission is reasonably generous, and it allows them to say, well, it is probably better for me to do that than to run the risk of taking bribes. And it worked well in St. Kitts. I don't know of any, many other places it has been done. But certainly what you're saying is that if a person is willing to pay a little more for efficiency, then there's really no reason why we shouldn't charge them for that efficiency. As it stands now, if you want your passport back in a day, you can pay $300 and get it back in a day. That was one of the good things that your friend Chris did, or was it David? I'm not sure. I suspect it was probably David Thompson.
I think that was David. That was David, because David had exclusive responsibility for immigration.
Right. Because what happens is that people who are business people and they don't have the luxury of saying I can leave my passport in for a week, they want it back. And instead of putting pressure on the supervisor of immigration to give them back in a day, their thing is, look, let's just pay a fee. You pay $300, and, you know, legitimately you can come in the morning, drop it off, the evening you can come back, and you get your new passport. And that way you don't lose any downtime. I've used the facility each time I've had my passport renewed, and I have no difficulty. And the great thing is that the jumbo passport, the business passport, is $300 anyhow. So it is a benefit you get where you take a business passport, and ultimately you get it back in a day. So I am good with that. Yeah, find a word for you, Patrick.
Even if you go up to license authority, I was up there the other day, Peter, and when I pushed the door, I had to tell the guy sorry because the door touched him in his back. Over hundreds of people in the, lined up in the place, Peter, to pay his representation. I'm saying, what is wrong with establishing an express lane where persons who won't just come and pay, you pay an additional $10 or $20. Mm-hmm. If you're in a hurry, you don't want to stay in the lane. The license costs $50 to renew, but if you use the express lane, it essentially costs you $70, the extra $10 for using the express lane. Mm-hmm. But if you can't come up with ways...
I am with that. Patrick, I would pay $100 not to stand up in a lane, not only 10. So I have no difficulty with that. I hate lines with a passion.
It's time consuming. Passion. We don't have the luxury.
Exactly.
Right?
All right. Patrick, thanks a lot for calling. Great ideas. I hope that someone is listening. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared this hurricane season? Have a 2-week supply of drinking water, dried and canned food, an updated first aid kit, and a battery-powered radio and flashlight. Place your ID card, driver's license, passport, insurance policies, and other important documents in a waterproof container on an elevated surface. Clean your surroundings. Trim trees and clear clogged gutters and drains. Store outdoor furniture and garbage cans inside. Fill your vehicle with fuel and know where your nearest hurricane shelter is located. Keep listening to your radio for advisories. This season, be ready. Be hurricane ready.
Welcome back to Delta Brass Talks. Somebody's telling me, Peter, good to have you back. Like most of the electorate, I voted for the Barbados Labour Party. The election is over, and I think it's time to cut out the hubris and allow the country to heal. In spite of the result, we still live in a democracy, so Dems must be heard. Enjoy the rest of your day. Someone else is saying making a similar point about the fact that the opposition voices seem to be drowned out. I penned an article for Sunday speaking to this whole question of DLP politics and whether the Democratic Labour Party, and I, like you, ma'am, feel that it is important that the Democratic Labour Party or opposition voices have an opportunity to filter through. I do feel, however, that if we are going to look at the Democratic Labour Party's best interests, it is a party that has to go through a process. And my sense is that the sooner the DLP deals with the past, the faster it can deal with the future. We were speaking in biblical terms last week when I talked about the fact that normally repentance precedes absolution and forgiveness and the Hail Marys and all the other things that Catholics do. And the reason that that order is important, because it allows one to not have to hark back to the past and say, well, you did this and you did that. If you come clean and you say, look, we did foolishness, full stop, like how the Reverend did, it then empowers the Reverend to comment critically on issues going forward. The challenge that I have with the Fabulous Four is that the Fabulous Four has not attempted to explain anything about their role in the previous administration, but yet is attempting to condemn what has come on as a consequence of it. And this is where my challenge lies. So I get your point, and I do believe that the opposition voices need to be heard. At the same time, however, I think that the DLP as an organization needs to have a long, hard look at itself and ask itself, look, what is the best way to get back to a situation where we can mount a reasonable opposition to the Barbados Labour Party, and we can ensure that when the next election rolls around, we are in some shape to take a seat or two. Because the fact is that it is probably going to be a seat or two. So the sooner you get cracking, the sooner it's likely to happen. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, Mom. How are you doing?
I good. How are you?
I'm great.
How is Mom?
Mom is good, man. Good.
Peter, I got three problems to put on your table this morning. Mm-hmm. A plain talking person like you, Dennis, David Ellis, mm-hmm. and Mr. Price, ain't I got no friends. No, when I want no friends. When I come there to do a job, mm-hmm. when I done, go where I want to live. Or continue to do what I want to do. Miss mm-hmm. Martley, I really appreciate that lady a lot. A lot. And I'm glad for her. She's young and she can get through. She's tired and we need to give her a break and see how far she will go. Miss Martley said last night she's on a debt and she's sorry she's on a debt. Why you want she to go and eat somebody's food?
Is it Jennifer that said that she gonna go eat that food?
No, my he ain't got much sense anyway. And you don't eat from the body, so I know you got somebody home. Not you.
I eat from people all the time.
Nah,
you talking about?
You eat from our people. You mean you might take a little
bit. I just said eat from Marley Rice Boy.
Well, I know about that, but you know you very well.
There was a time that I used to go and eat food in the DLP headquarters every Friday. Sundays I even get it for free.
Peter, I got another thing to put my table. A lady bought a house up here.
This is real?
This is in Orange Hill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she see a little house she buy for her children one side. Mm-hmm. Her let us go to the place here in Orange Hill. Then she come to vote at the center and the school she was told, don't come there, go where you buy the house. I find that is unreasonable because when you move in, you have to change your address and leave post office in order to send your mail. But the woman mail was coming at her house here in Orange Hill. And I find it was unreasonable. Everything, me, Peter, you know what would happen. You know what would happen. Because George belonging to me. And I say that, and I say it openly. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody can beat he now. Let the beat he down. Because he's short already.
I know, Arisha, people don't make sport when it comes to the BLP.
Well, that's what I mean. George never tells you.
No, the problem, ma'am, with our transfer procedure is that you can transfer someone effectively without that person knowing.
Right? No, but Peter, all of her letters go there.
No, I understand. I understand, but I'm
and
saying that.
And a little house that she can buy somewhere for she children, mm-hmm. and she husband can live here and children get the house down there. You shouldn't be telling anybody go back and board.
I agree with you, ma'am. I agree with you, but I'm saying that the transfer procedure needs to be looked at because it is possible for to transfer someone without that person being involved in the process.
But
you realize that? You realize that I could transfer you. I could witness the fact that you live somewhere else. I have you transferred. You may not necessarily even be aware.
But the thing is, if I want you to know where you're living, I'm going to notify them.
I move
on this address, and I go on to another address. You see what happened to me? George will get it anywhere at all, Peter. I'm mm-hmm. telling you this, and I'm telling you it from my heart. From the time I move here, I find it to be reasonable. When people was talking and ramping, all the time, the DLP shirt, pantaloons, trees, children in the gutter, all mm-hmm. kind of things. And some of the same people that they went and vote behind the DLP was some of the same people that went and vote for the girl, mm-hmm. went and vote for Miss Marley. Miss Marley is on a diet. Miss Marley want you feature, Peter. She don't want nobody. She don't want nobody feature because she may get too loud.
She drinking protein shakes. Boy, I hope she got the energy here because it's a lot of work that she's been doing.
She said last night she's sorry she on a diet, mm-hmm. but I like the size she have.
Okay.
You understand? Okay. And for her people, they're working. And a lot of these people in government service, they need to be trapped. You know why I say mm-hmm. that? you call it a government place, and you going to hear, can you try and call again later? Or you hear, they put you through to a machine here in the Lord Museum. That nonsense whatsoever. And the woman is working, because I want to teach you the office today, though. She's on patrol. Mm-hmm. She and her men and her women on patrol. And I'm telling my prime minister, she is a darling, don't eat from Peter, nor none of them in today, because... God, a good morning. Have a good morning.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling, ma'am. Good chatting. It's always good to chat with you. And today was no different. This is Dr. Brastax. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning. How are you doing?
I'm fair. And you?
I'm great.
All right. I know you're excellent, man. Mm-hmm. Peter, the idea posited just now by Patrick about these special lines where you could accelerate things quickly by paying the extra fees. It's good only on paper. That is not a good practical idea, because for one reason, everybody can find the money to get in that fast lane too.
The better than for efficiency.
Well, the lines can still be short, because all you can do is move from one line to the next and you're still short. Mm-hmm. Unless you put more people to serve, which is, if you do that in the beginning, then you don't need the extra line. If you ever look at the line, you know, if we got a express line at a supermarket, I don't go in there because their lines would be the longest lines.
Yeah, everybody got 2-3 items.
Right, yeah. Right. So I just fear their lines. Or even if you go in Scotia line at Scotia Bank, that's supposed to be an express line. I fear them sometimes because they're actually keeping you longer.
And there's have one person there.
That's right. Yeah, that's another point. You got one person dealing with that. That's true. No. So today's
sir, let's just say though that I personally think that a lot can be done to make administration more efficient, so that none of us have to stand up in lanes. This nonsense about renewing licenses and all that's unnecessary. I've seen a UK license, right?
Yeah.
The person gets it when they're like 18 or 19, and the first time that person renews it is when they turn 60. The intermittent renewals are really only so that you can get a new picture. And that government can get more revenue.
But that's a very good point.
If you have determined that your revenue stream is coming from gas, which is something that you're paying every week, then just deal with it that way. But forcing people to engage lines frequently, to me, does not make sense. And if the insurance companies can renew your insurance without your having to come into them and line up, why can't government not renew your license without you having to come into them and line up? Sir, I abhor it, and I do not understand why it has to be the case. A government is the only institution that insists that you have to stand up in a line to get something done.
Yes, I agree. I don't know what it might mean that I want people to do it.
Of course it would. That's the reason why.
Recommend it to your people.
But sir, we have to have a frank and honest conversation. What do you have a deputy permanent secretary in the ministry for? What role does a deputy permanent secretary serve?
I am quite sure.
Right, precisely. And I think that this is the kind of conversation that we have to know. So when we're talking about sending home people, invariably they talk about sending home people cutting bush by the side of the road. I mean, some of them want sending home too, but the reality of the situation is that we have to look beyond that. We have to ask ourselves, in this age of reform, why do we need to have deputy permanent secretaries in ministries? And so many of them, you know, why can permanent secretaries not be on contract for 3 years? Let's say the rest of people, you will find a CEO in most organizations that are on contract for 3 to 5 years, but you don't give people like that tenure.
True.
Why would you do that in government? So those are the kinds of reforms. And as I said, I am not afraid to say that, yeah, it will mean that some people will need to go home. It will mean that some people will need to do things differently. But you know, the sooner we start, the sooner we can finish.
True. Now, Peter, during the election campaign, at least for the last 8 years, you all have raised some issues, important issues, and you ventilated them over and over and over. For example, the South Post, you know, that was talked about every day. And you would speak about it because the matter wasn't resolved, so you would come back at it all the time. The inactive vest of the Democratic Labour Party, the short silence and sanitation, to mention a few of the things that were repeated on the program. So I'm asking for your indulgence to allow me to revisit an issue that I have mentioned only twice so far. Because when you bring an issue, each day you can come from a different perspective.
Sure.
And you can get different additional information to come with. So that's why I want to repeat the issue that I raised last week, because it has not been looked at as yet. And I remember that one of the complaints that you had with the last administration was the lack of communication. You presented issues, they were ignored, and they disrespected the public and so on. Whereas the BLP, on the other hand, was telling you they were rubbing shoulders and feeling the pulse of the people on the ground. Now, the issue I have is this. With the economic situation in Barbados about a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the government charged UE students a tuition fee. There was always a fee called a registration fee. Everybody always paid that. All the institutions paid that. But they charged the students a large sum for the tuition. But I'm saying that at the same time that was done, it was also done to the polytechnic. No, the government has come in and had promised during the campaign period that it will remove the fees for the UE students. So I am just wondering, why can't it remove the fees for the polytechnic students as well? And by the way, yesterday when Mr. Johnson was on, somebody sent in a WhatsApp and said, if that is the case, you remove for the polytechnic, you're going to remove for BIMAP and all the others. Now, there's a big difference. BIMAP is still paying its registration fee. You will still continue to pay its registration fee, and the polytechnic can continue to pay its registration fee. But I'm saying, two institutions got charged tuition fees. We're only asking for the tuition fees to be removed. Because come September, students are going to be paying some high fees. There were courses at the polytechnic that were at $400 prior to the putting on the tuition fees, and they went to $4,000. And everybody is focusing on the UE. Now, I don't know if they're focusing on UE because everybody's looking at academic studies and playing down technical and vocational education as though it is nothing. But here's my real concern, Peter. This issue was raised last week, right? And up to now, I haven't heard Santia Brasher on it. So this is suggesting that it is not an important matter. It is not something to even. I don't think she can make a decision on it, right? But I'm saying that she can come out and say, okay, we will look into this or something like that. But to say you hit the ground running, because when you land on the ground running, I don't know what direction you're running. You may be running away from me with the problem. So I want you to run into me to deal with the issue. We're talking about being fair and equitable. You cannot be fair. If two fees went on, are you only removing one? I mean, these are the same people that vote for you, you know. 30-0 tells you something. The majority of the population vote for you. Now you're deserting them. 5,000 plus people applying to get into the polytechnic. September coming, because it's the annual thing, approximately. And you mean to tell me with this volume of people standing here, Bradshaw cannot find the time. All the time she was talking about communication. The problem with the DLP is poor communication. Don't interact with the people. We want to rub shoulders. But if people need you to rub their shoulders, no. They need you to be on the ground now. All the time you were on the ground, now you're not on the ground anymore. And we need to hear from Santia Brasher. So I want you, with your connections and so, to make a plea on the behalf of the many people who want to go into the polytechnic and do their trades and get qualified. To come out and speak to the people, don't go into the hiding now. Now is the time that we want to hear Santia. Mayor obviously is busy with the economic matters and so, but you've got to minister education and dealing with technical and vocational education and cannot come out and say a word. This is unreasonable. It is time she come out and say something, Mr. Wickham.
Well, sir, I am probably not going to, I am not going to condemn Minister Bradshaw for taking her time in dealing with these issues, because the reality is that it's overwhelming. The Ministry of Education is a large ministry, and there's not only that issue. There are a lot of issues regarding education that she has to address. I don't believe it is through want of, it's for lack of interest. I think it's just also for lack of time, and there will be a need to get on top of these things. I just want to commit to you, sir, the Trinidad and Tobago model. I think it's called GATE, and I hope that we can have some more conversations on the GATE program. The challenge I have with this current system is that if, let's say, for example, I have a child that goes to UWA and they get a waiver in relation to their fees, that's fine. What if my child decides, I want to do something specialized, like probably ballet, and they want to go to a school in the United States of America. There's no assistance for them, right? If you want to do medicine at UE, you get help. If you want to do medicine at St. George's University in Grenada, you don't. The GATE program brings all of that on par, and it says to children, you have X number of dollars available to you that you can use wheresoever you want to study. And I think that that's fair and equitable. So whether it be at the polytechnic, whether it be at a university, whether it be at a private tertiary institution in the country, because in Trinidad and Tobago, there are many of those that offer courses in accounting and things of that nature, like by math, you know, that type of thing. Should you not be also available, able to access government support to pursue a course at BIMAP as distinct from pursuing it at the University of the West Indies? And then, of course, you have the controls. That is what I hope will evolve out of this conversation we're having. I believe in the restoration of fees, but I also believe there needs to be control. So I think that the opportunity is there now for us to talk about how we're going to control it. And I would commend the GATE program to all of you who might be interested in a model to follow. Dr. Brad Stats, we'll be right back.